We're driven by the search for better. But when it comes to hiring, the best way to search for a candidate isn't to search at all. Don't search, match with Indeed. Indeed is your matching and hiring platform with over 350 million global monthly visitors, according to Indeed data, and a matching engine that helps you find quality candidates fast. Ditch the busy work. Use Indeed for scheduling, screening, and messaging so you can connect with candidates faster. Leveraging over 140 million qualifications and preferences every day, Indeed's matching engine is constantly learning from your preferences. So the more you use Indeed, the better it gets. Join more than 3.5 million businesses worldwide that use Indeed to hire great talent fast. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/Blue Wire. Just go to Indeed.com/Blue Wire right now and support our show by saying that you heard about Indeed on this podcast. That's Indeed.com/Blue Wire. Terms and conditions apply. Need to hire? You need Indeed.
Craig is usually a fan of water cooler talk, but it's draft season, and that's all anyone wants to talk about. The Athletic has loads of articles about this year's draft. But Greg doesn't have The Athletic, so now he's filling up his water bottle in the bathroom sink. Which, to remind you, is the sink people use after they use the bathroom. Get The Athletic and get the info you need to speak draft fluently.
The Angie's List you know and trust is now Angie, and we're so much more than just a list. We still connect you with top local pros and show you ratings and reviews, but now we also let you compare upfront prices on hundreds of projects and book a service instantly. We can even handle the rest of your project from start to finish. So remember, Angie's List is now Angie, and we're here to get your job done right. Get started at Angie.com. That's A-N-G-I, or download the app today.
Welcome to Bear in Mind, the official podcast of Cal Athletics. Here's your host, Todd McKim.
Well, a good week, everybody. Bear in Mind, the official podcast of Cal Athletics, coming your way today with a lot of basketball. Also, a little bit later on, we'll talk women's lacrosse as well with Brooke Eubanks, who is in her fourth year with the Bears. But first of all, we're going to talk men's hoops. The Bears down in Southern California this week to face UCLA and USC. And so for a number of the players, it's a homecoming week. It's also a homecoming week for the head coach. For the first time as a Cal head coach, as Y. King is from Southern California, St. Bernard's High School there in the Los Angeles area. Does that make this trip even more special for you?
Yeah, it does. I've coached a number of games at Pauley Pavilion at the Galen Center as an assistant coach. So to be able to coach a game at Pauley Pavilion as a head coach has something special to it. You know, to be able to go back home and coach as a head coach is great. I've gotten a ton of ticket requests from my family and friends, and I've had to turn some people down, but. So there'll be quite a few people in the audience in the stands that I'm really close with. So it does make this a special trip for me.
Play pickup games at Pauley when you were growing up?
I did in college. Yeah. In college, yeah, that was the spot in the summertime with all the guys from overseas and all the pro guys, and actually played pickup one time with Magic Johnson. Mm-hmm. And that was kind of eye opening. Yeah. It was after he had retired, and funny story. Anytime he missed a shot, he'd call a foul. but he wouldn't call the foul. He just would
assume.
No, he would just walk to the half court. So we'd start playing offense on the other end, and then everybody would notice that we're playing offense against four guys. And then we look back, and he's just standing at half court, like, you know, you guys should already know that was a foul, Magic Johnson. So, bring it back down this way. So that was an interesting day of pickup with him. But yeah, I used to play at Pauley Pavilion all the time, pickup during the summer.
When I first got to Los Angeles from Pennsylvania, I got hooked up with David Greenwood and Roy Hamilton, who obviously played for UCLA. And Gene Bartow in the mid 70s, and I ended up playing two-on-two with those two guys. It was me and the basketball manager, who was my best friend at the time. Mm-hmm. And it's kind of interesting, because you know this being from L.A., that UCLA aura exists. It's real. Mm-hmm. People are intrigued, certainly at that point in time, after they've won 10 straight championships, with what's going on. So we're playing two-on-two. Mm-hmm. So Greenwood's 6'10", 6'11". He ended up being a first-round draft pick, won an NBA championship. And Roy Hamilton was, I think, the 14th pick of the draft by the Detroit Pistons. So, you know, me and my buddy win the first game. Okay? We win the first game because they're not playing any D. They come back, they crush us in game two. And best out of five, we win game three. Really? And now there's like 30, 40 people milling around in the stands.
Okay.
So we beat them. And I couldn't miss. I couldn't miss. So they come back and they crush us in game number four. Now it's game five.
Yeah, now it's a tiebreaker.
Yeah, and so Greenwood guards me. He's 6'10", can jump through it, and it just crushed us, and they laughed. But we had a great time, but those are the memories I have of Pauley Pavilion, too. You never know who's going to show up for a game down there, especially in the summertime.
Yeah, it's a special place. I mean, it's you know, it's right there in L.A., and the weather's always nice, and, you know, it's always pretty outside, Yeah, it's a fun place to go play pickup. It's a fun place to play a college basketball game. And, you know, I've coached many games. Back in my day at Pepperdine, we always going to Pauley Pavilion to play a game. And, you know, you look over and you see John Wooden in the stands, and you know, you see some of the alumni at the games. We played there 2 years ago, last year, and. I think Snoop Dogg was there.
Probably.
Snoop Dogg was there last year to come check out Lonzo. And so, it's a fun place to play basketball.
Yeah, it is. It's an interesting atmosphere, depending on how the Bruins are doing. Right now, they're struggling a little bit. We'll talk about that later. Also, talk about just growing up in L.A. You went to St. Bernard's, a really good academic school. Mm-hmm. And just tell us, at what point in your life that basketball kind of became the thing for you? I mean, you're a big guy,
Obviously
bigger now than you probably were in high school because you hit the weights pretty good. Mm-hmm. But what was it like? Because you're growing up, when you're a young guy, Showtime's going on with the Lakers, right?
Yeah.
And so what was that like, the basketball vibe in L.A. at those times?
Well, it wasn't for me. It wasn't L.A. It was Inglewood.
That's right.
So for me, it was my city, Inglewood, city of champions. Mm-hmm. I sound like Bill Walton right now, but it was you know, Inglewood, city of champions, and it was the home of the Fabulous Forum where the Lakers played. And so just being from Inglewood, you know, we had a tremendous amount of pride that the LA Lakers played their games in our city. And so as a result, basketball was the number one sport in Inglewood. It wasn't even a close second. Football was baseball, but everybody played basketball. And so for me, growing up in Inglewood, playing ball, started playing basketball at 9. And I really want to say that the minute I started playing, it became my obsession. Like, it was just what I wanted to do all the time. And, you know, and you go on the court and you know, each day you would pick a different Laker to say that you were. You know, one day I'm Byron Scott, which Byron Scott, for me, growing up, he was everybody's favorite because he went to Morningside High School in Inglewood. So he went to Morningside, he went to Arizona State, and he was part of the trade for Norm Nixon to the Lakers. And so everybody really rooted for him because he was a local guy. And, you know, one day you're James Worthy, one day you're Magic, one day you're Kareem, one day you're AC Green, and so one day you're Michael Cooper. And so it was a whole lot of fun, and basketball was everyone's life. You were either a fan or you played. And so I remember the three-peats and going to the forum, standing outside for the celebration with the team. It's so funny, one time I went to the celebration and Magic threw a hat out into the crowd, the hat that he was wearing, and I caught the hat. And so, funny enough, me and my buddies after the parade, celebration, whatever you want to call it, we said, all right, well, let's go from park to park and go play pickup against some different guys. Because we would typically play at Rogers Park, mm-hmm. but because we were by the forum, in the parking lot of the Forum. We said, let's go to some different parks. At the end of the day, I could care less about that hat. It was all about
competing.
It was all about competing. I tried to guard it for a while and make sure nobody stole it. But then I'm on the court, and then it got dirty at one point. And we were playing on the asphalt, we're playing outside, and then after a while it was like, you know what? Yeah, it was nice to catch the hat, but you know, I'm trying to win some games over at this park that we normally don't go to. And so basketball became my life at 9. And I don't think I really got any good at it until I was probably 11 or so, probably like 5th grade. And from then on, it just has always been, you know, my passion.
When did you have the growth spurt?
I was always tall. Yeah, so I was always I was always the tallest kid in my class. So I never had like this extreme growth spurt. I just kind of continually inched up and continued to be the tallest kid in the class. And so I never had like a major like one summer grow 5-4 inches. It was always gradual for me. So you know, but Rogers Park was also known for having the best Parks and Rec basketball league in the city of Los Angeles. And so it was kind of cool because you would play one game at Rogers one weekend, and then the next weekend you played at Darby Park. And so it was like home and away. And they did an unbelievable job with it. You know, we had a scoring list that would come out. I was always at the top of it. I think 2 years I led my league in scoring. So you took a lot of pride, you know, in playing ball in Inglewood and being a part of the Rogers Park Park and Rec situation. And this is a whole lot of fun. And I really don't think the kids these days get that same kind of setup that we had back in Inglewood. So I feel very, very fortunate to have gone through it.
Not only great basketball, but it was the social mecca of Los Angeles on game night. Right. I mean, the limousines and the stars and the celebrities. And I mean, you go to games, or even if you don't go to games, you just hang out outside to see who's going to show up for the games.
Yeah, the Forum Club. The Forum Club is what it was called.
Down the runway.
And Dr. Buss, he was a marketing genius, you know, because what he did was he brought Hollywood to Inglewood. And so, you know, from Jack...
Jack Nicholson.
He's been a long time great, and you know, you see just all kind of celebrities at the games courtside. I remember Arsenio Hall, Eddie Murphy, you know, all those guys, and so it just became the place to be. And you know, he was a marketing genius because he started calling it Showtime, you know, and then you had Chick Hearns, and even when you just watched the games on TV, it felt special. Because you got Chick Hearns, and it was just a really cool time to grow up in Inglewood. You know, it's just funny because, you know, I talk about the gangs and the drugs and all of that. And that was happening during the time that I grew up in Inglewood. But then you also had the Lakers, so you had it was a lot going on. But it really matured me. Shaped me to be who I am, gave me some toughness, could handle myself, and obviously, really had something to do with my love for the game.
Well, we'll talk more about that in maybe a future podcast, because it's just fascinating. I can remember being in Eugene at the time and going to L.A. I can't remember if I was covering Oregon or Oregon State, but we went to a Laker practice, and I was stunned. I mean, this is the hottest team on the planet in any sport. Mm-hmm. And we went to a practice and got one-on-one interviews with Pat Riley, Magic Johnson, Michael Thompson. And A.C. Green was from Oregon State, so he was the tie-in as well. So it was just unbelievable the time in that period of time. I was a Celtic fan, unfortunately, so I was in enemy territory at the time. But I kind of kept my secret to myself.
Yeah. I hope you did. You got beat up.
Yeah.
You know what's interesting about you saying where they practice is they practiced at Loyola Marymount.
That's right. Yeah.
And part of I ended up at Loyola Marymount largely in part because I just as a kid, my mom, she was the first to let me know that this is where the Lakers practice, practice at LMU. And so that made LMU more special to me, knowing that the Lakers were always there. And I went to a couple practices. My elementary school coach, Jimmy Ellis, was assistant, was helping out at LMU, so he invited me to I was able to go see a practice. And you pull up, and then you see all these fancy cars in the parking lot. Yeah. And you see a Ferrari, and you see for a kid, 12-year-old kid from Inglewood, I'm like, wow, this is crazy.
Maseratis.
Yeah, yeah.
They're all lined up.
And then you walk in the gym, and you see Kareem, and you see Magic, and you're like, man, this is crazy. And they're just wearing, they're in practice gear and just getting after it. And so that was part of the tie-in kind of for me was LMU became more special to me as a kid because I knew that I was ball boy, obviously, but then I also knew that that's where the Lakers practice. So I thought it made it a more special place to me because of that. So, but that's a whole nother story we can get into later. But yeah, just the Laker influence is really big. It's really big, especially during that time.
Rather than talking specifics about these two games, because we can do that on the pregame shows, I want to talk about you've got players now. Mm-hmm. You've got several players that are from the LA area. Do you try to educate them on what's going to happen with friends and family? They're all going to be around. They're all going to want to see you. You have the extra day in LA mm-hmm. as well on how to approach a weekend like this?
I have not, but now that you mention it, maybe I should start putting my head around some ground rules about what curfews and
didn't mean to add to your menu already.
Yeah, now that you mentioned that, I think I do need to talk to them about not letting and not letting family and friends and being back to LA, not letting it be a distraction. We're a young team. You got Juwan Harris-Dyson, who's a freshman. He's going back home. Justice Suing's going back home. Deshaun is going back home, and so you got a few guys. Roman Davis is going back home.
Nick Hamilton,
and so you got quite a few guys that are from the LA area. And the last thing we want to go out and play a great game and do what we need to do. But the last thing you want is for the guys to feel distracted or be distracted for the two games. I mean, we're going to be there for a while too with the Thursday Sunday swing. So. That is something that I need to address, Todd. I'm glad you brought it up. I mean, we need to talk about it. And because we've done a really good job on the road. Mm-hmm. I would say Washington State was probably the only road game that we played that we didn't look good. And so they've done a really good job up to this point of being locked in and focused on the road. And so the last thing you want is for our guys to be distracted. So it is something that I need to address.
All right, a little walk down memory lane this week with head coach Joaquin Jones as the Bears face the Bruins Thursday and USC Sunday afternoon at the Galen Center. Appreciate the time, coach, and good luck this week.
Thank you so much. Appreciate it, Todd.
All right, next up, we'll talk women's hoops with Christine Enigwe off to another terrific start in this her junior year as we continue with Bear in Mind, the official podcast of Cal Athletics. Joining us now, one of our favorites, Christine Enigwe, the junior center for the Bears, as they will be at home this week against the Arizona schools. Friday night will be 90s night, 1990s, that is, not 1890s. And then on Sunday, the Bears will host Arizona State, always one of the best games of the year, the Arizona State game and Cal. Let's talk with Christine. First of all, just how the year has gone. Give us your thoughts. You must be the most popular player in the league because other players get closer to you than anybody else in the league because you're always double and triple teamed. So you've got, I don't know if you've made friends or you're just a magnet for defenses, but what has that been like for you?
As like the years have gone by, I feel like personally I've been able to pass and contribute to the offense because I'm able to do more things. Now it's kind of just like, I'm just used to it, so I don't think anyone in Pac-12 is going to single guard me. If they are, then I'm just going to score. So, like, now it's, like, double teams, like, pass out, pass fake, and get my team involved. So I'm just really happy that, like, I'm able to grow from this, and it's just helping me for the next level.
One of the areas where you've grown is shooting the three ball. I mean, you had a game this year where you made three of them. You went 3 for 3. I mean, was that something that you made a conscious effort at trying to improve at coming into this year?
Well, I wanted to work on my overall game. I wanted to work on three, taking people off the dribble, passing, shooting, finishing, and free throws. And it's my, I don't shoot that many, but when I shoot them, I hope they go in. So if I'm open at the three, I shoot it. If they're crowding me at the three, I'll drive. If they're not letting me, if the offense isn't requiring me to shoot at the three, I'll just post up. So it's whatever like the defense is giving me, I'm going to do.
All right, it's the third year for you. This is a team that has more veterans on it than you guys have had in the past.
Yeah.
How has that helped in having the success the team has had so far?
It's helped a lot. Being older and more experience has allowed us to really just know what to do in a crunch time situation, or even like when we're up, we're able to like contribute. We're still able to like do things that close a game, or if we don't need to close a game, we're still able to compete and try to like get the win because we know how important it is. We know how important the gap. Like if we don't want to get blown up by 30, rather get blown up, like lose by 10 than get blown up. We understand like what we have to do to get to the tournament. So I feel like this year, having like last year we barely made it to the tournament, and my freshman year not making the tournament this year, whereas like we just want to get like a home game.
That'd be great. You talked about having a veteran team. It helps get over the hump. And certainly this last weekend, the game at USC is case in point. I mean, that was a game that was back and forth the entire game. And it was your team that made the key plays down the stretch. Asia had a little streak there. She scored 5 straight points. So it's become pretty evident that the team is figuring out how to win those close ones.
Yeah, you see 2 veteran teams on USC. They have a lot of depth, too. They have a lot of depth, but they only play 5 players. Mm-hmm. So our team, we have depth, and we can play more than 5 players. You see us on the bench. I had fouled out in 20 minutes, and maybe in a different situation last year, we wouldn't have pulled through. Mm-hmm. But this year, like you can see how like they got together, and they really just try to get the win. And it's been incredible being around them and seeing them grow.
Let's talk about this weekend. Got the Arizona schools, and again, I'm going to reflect back on Arizona State for whatever the reason. Their style of play, the way you guys play. I mean, there's just been some really terrific games between these two teams. What is it about that rivalry that's become one of the best in this league?
Playing Arizona State is very special for me because, again, I've never beaten Arizona State. I think we beat them once in the Pac-12 play, but like in conference play, we've never beaten them. So I'm really excited for this game, and I feel like this year they're really, really good. They're always a really good team. They always like, it's like kind of like Stanford. They are disciplined, and you know they're going to give, and they're going to bring 100% every single night. So I respect Charlie and her program a lot, and I just feel like I really, really, really want to beat them because I've never beaten them in a conference play. And again, my junior year, I want to make a mark, and I would really love to get a sweep this weekend.
All right, let's talk non-basketball. So you've been here a couple of years now. You've got the lay of the land of Berkeley. Do you have any places that you like to go to eat or just to hang out? Anything special that you found either with your teammates or your other friends?
I'm usually like, I hang out with like a lot of people outside the team. Like my best friend, China, actually, we hang out a lot. We go to Benton's or like, I go Benton to Kayla or like on our team, but off the court, I hang out with like China and Samonte. We usually like do our hair or like, go get ice cream or cream or just like, I love ice cream, but I'm not allowed to eat anymore. So
is that something you've been told you can't eat because
I'm not allowed
it's
to have,
bad for you?
I'm not allowed to have dairy. Oh, so okay. That's a disappointment. Exactly. So I can't have chocolate or ice cream or anything that I like. So like it's been fun. Like my sister comes out a lot. My mom hasn't come down that much this year, but my sister comes on a lot, and it's really fun when she's here. And,
Do you have a pre-game regime that you go through? I know, like, Y. King Jones, he's always got to go get his hair cut. And I keep telling him, Y. King, you don't have any hair. Mm-hmm. But he has to get the beard trimmed and that kind of stuff. On game day, do you have any special routines that you go through? Either in warm-ups, you're listening to certain music, locker room, you're doing this, that, and the other?
Yeah, I listen. Like, I usually... Right, first I listen to like one this not documentary, but just it's like a motivational kind of thing. and it kind of helps me like level, like get my head leveled. Then I listen to something that gets me upbeat, like, and to like to feel like a dominant player. Then I listen to something else by Kobe. I listen to something from Michael Jordan. I listen to something from Kobe last. I listen to Kobe last because, like, I don't know, it just brings me like a different kind of level of intensity. Like Michael Jordan brings me like heart and like passion, and Kobe kind of brings me like work ethic and just like beating your opponent in a different level way. And then I listen to like something that, like, before I listen to both of those, I listen to like this like story about this guy, how it's like not about, it's like something that's like not about you. It's like about like something that's like winning and having success is about something bigger, and if you only play for yourself, then you're not really gonna have, you're not gonna really have that like that fire, because you're only playing for you. When you play for something bigger than yourself, it allows you to play for with more intensity and more heart. And I listen, so like that's like what I listen to. And then I listen to like this like Nigerian music before, after, yeah, after that I listen to Nigerian music, I listen to gospel music, and then I call my dad. Then I have my teammate Sara, like if we like, if there was success with the one braid, I do one braid. But then if there's not success with one braid, then I do two braids. And
so you have some superstition to you.
No, like kind of superstition, but like if it's like, it kind of works. So sometimes I'll do like one braid, and then like if that's successful, I'll do it again. And then like if that's not successful, then I'll do like two braids. And so yeah.
So how many braids do you go through? I mean, can you go through, I guess?
I don't know. She does a really good job mixing it up. So my hair is always different.
Tell me more about these little motivational vignettes that you listen to. Is it Kobe's voice? Is it Michael Jordan's voice? And how long do they last?
Well, the first from Inky Johnson.
Okay.
Is it? Yeah. So, like, he was actually like wasn't able to go to the NFL because he almost died playing football, and that kind of helps me like think about like this is like my last, if this is my last game, like how would I want to be remembered on the court? And it doesn't matter like if I'm not being able to score, or like what do I want the other team to think about me? Like, oh, she came out with everything she had, or she half-assed it. Like, even if I'm exhausted, like, I always think about, like, that video. Like, he's not able to play football ever again. And that was, like, taken away from him, but he did something else. And I have to realize that I'm playing more than just, like, Cal. Like, I'm playing for, like, my mom. And, like, because she's, like, done everything for me, like, sacrificed so much for me. Like, as a player and as a person, like, she's, like, her whole life was, like, kind of, like, for her children. And so, like, I'm not only playing for myself, I'm playing for, like, something bigger than, like, myself. And so when I play with that, I'm just, like, it motivates me. Like, it doesn't matter, like, what kind of day I'm going through, like, I'm going to give it up. I'm going to do everything I can for my family. And so, that's, like.
So what's the last thing you listen to as you come up from the locker room the final time before the game starts? The last thing that
you, like, my mom's favorite song, yeah,
which is
Silential. It's like a Nigerian song, so you probably won't miss. But like, yeah, I'll probably listen to that, and I'll go up with the team. Just like kind of keeps me steady, because I have a lot of, like, I play with a lot of just energy, so I don't want to, like, I always want to remember like who I'm playing for. And
it's awesome. It's good stuff. Everybody's got a little routine. It's nice to know what yours is. Who has the strangest routine on the club? Do you have any idea?
I don't focus on anyone else's routine, just mine.
But you don't know what anybody...
I don't, like, I never really talked about anyone else's routine. I kind of just, like, when I'm getting ready for a game, I'm focused on, like, myself. Like, what am I going to do for the team? Not, like, I'm, like, in a different zone when I get from, like, 30 minutes before the game, and then even after the game, it takes me 15 minutes to really dial in what happened the game. So
very thoughtful person, and you put a lot into it mentally and physically as well. And then talk about your teammates. Who on the court is the person that is the rah-rah person, that if things aren't going well, they're going to try to jack everybody up and get everybody going? Who's that person?
Probably Michaela, or like me. Yeah, probably either me or Michaela. Yeah, I think so. I'm not sure.
But there is somebody that does that, right?
Yeah.
And who is the the team clown. Who's the one person that makes everybody on the team laugh?
I think I do sometimes, but I think everyone does on our team. My team's pretty funny. Bird, Malaysia, yes. She's really funny to me. Michaela, Michael is really funny.
How about on the team bus? What's the ride like? You're on the road last week. You got the LA schools. What's it like on the team bus?
It's like a lot of jokes, but I guess before games, no one really talks. It's really, really pretty quiet.
How about coming back from a shooter? I've been on buses where they can be.
I don't
10 different people.
It depends. It depends. What kind of mood we're in. It depends on the day. Our team is pretty funny. It's one person or another.
Well, hopefully you guys will have a few chuckles this week against the Arizona schools, because this, again, got to win the games at home, and you guys have been a solid team this year. Got a good record. You're right there in the conference race, and once again, it's an excellent conference race, the Oregon schools, Stanford, the Bears. So it ought to be fun coming down the stretch. Appreciate you taking the time. I know you got to run to class here. Have a good weekend against the Arizona schools, and finally get that victory over the Sun Devils, right?
Yeah, thank you so much for having me.
Christina Nigwe as the Bears host Arizona and Arizona State. Remember, Friday night, 90s night. 90s night. I'm trying to remember what was hip in the 90s. We'll get the memory bank going here. When we come back, we'll talk a little women's lacrosse as they're getting ready to start their season. First week of practice as we continue on Bear in Mind, the official podcast of Cal Athletics. Joining us now is women's lacrosse coach who's been with us now for, this is her fourth year, Brooke Eubanks. We've talked before when we had a radio show, but now we don't have any parameters, so we can pretty much talk about anything for as long as we want to go. But anyway, Brooke, good to see you again. Fourth year, for the first time since you've been here, it's basically all your own players. How does that help when you get ready to start a new season?
You know, I've been really lucky since my first season here of having such a great group of girls and women, here and really buying into our vision and where we want to take this program. And this is the first year that I have coached every player from freshman to senior year. And that's, really exciting. And, obviously a special place in my heart for the current senior class, because that's my first class as a head coach, coaching them through. And it's nice because it's become more of repetition, being comfortable with systems, expectations on the field and off the field. And it's not so much trying to learn new things, trying to learn each other. It's more just like, this is what we do. How do we get the underclassmen on board? And then here we go. So, it seems to be a little bit more seamless as we go.
Obviously, early in practice, this is the first official week of practice. The team back from winter break as well. But having had this group for a while, what kind of a team do you expect to have this year?
We really try to emphasize, teamwork, teamship, and working together. It's not so much about relying on one person to do the job. We all have to, be there to support each other. Now, with that said, there's going to be days that one person's on or, another person is. But ultimately, we compete as a team. And really trying to build that team chemistry is really important through this preseason, almost as much as the X's and O's and making sure we have all our plays and systems in is really more of, are we on the same page? Do we have the same communication? Do we have the same vision? And, that's really what we're focusing on this first week.
Do you expect to have a team? Every team has a strength, something that maybe you can fall back on and feel confident every match that you play, offense or defense, or maybe it's transition. What about this year's team?
I think it's going to evolve, finding our identity and, our big strengths of what we're going to rely on. But we really do have great speed. We have individuals that are extremely fast. We have defenders who are offensive minded. So that really helps in that they were actually previous middies or even attackers, and now they're starting defenders. Of as soon as we get the ball, everyone's pushing the offense. Everyone's a part of the transition, and it's not just an attacker thing. It's a goalie on up through the defenders, through the middies, and I really think that's going to benefit us. especially with the shot clock and we only have 90 seconds of possession, of being able to get the ball in our offensive end as quickly as possible and not wasting time, you know, through the midfield.
Yeah, if you haven't been to a lacrosse game, these can be pretty high scoring. I mean, you can get up and down, and teams are going to score in the teens a lot. Really good teams sometimes can get in the upper teens. And so it's a very fast-paced game to watch from a spectator standpoint.
Yeah, definitely. And we have another rule change this year that's going to change it even more, is we used to have to freeze on the whistle, you know, like freeze tag, where all players had to stop. Very unique to lacrosse. But this year, there's free movement. So the player who was fouled or did the fouling, you know, needs to stop to where the foul was, but everyone else can be moving. So a little bit more like soccer, you know, where off-ball attackers, defenders are going to be moving. So it's a fast-paced game, and I think that's going to make it even faster with that.
When you're recruiting, is there, and maybe it depends on the position, is there a skill that a player must have to be able to play at this level? Let's just pick out one skill, because there's a lot of skills you have to be really good. But is there one thing you're looking for when you go recruiting?
I mean, that's an interesting question. And I would say, yes, it's an attitude. It's a mindset. The special thing about lacrosse is you can be tall. You know, there's successful players who are 6 feet and above, and, you know, they make their money by being inside and catching feeds and shooting, you know, kind of like a slam dunk. But you can be short and you can be shifty and you can, you know, kind of weave your way through defenders. You can be fast where no one can catch you, and that's kind of your game, and you just blow by everyone because we're playing on a 120-yard, you know, long field. But you also don't have to be fast. You can have great hands and thread the needle and catch and, you know, have great stick work. So really, from a skill standpoint, it's not so much that we're looking for specific skills. It's more of, are they an athlete and do they have the mindset?
This is the first year that the Pac-12 will have a full conference, six teams, six good teams, highly competitive. What do you expect out of year one with this round robin, two games against each one of those opponents this year, plus everybody advances to the conference tournament as well?
Yeah, this is pretty exciting for lacrosse in general. There's no other conference in the country that does a home and away. So, you know, we're starting to mimic, you know, the basketballs and the other sports that do that. So this is new for everyone. I think that, I mean, no matter what, the Pac-12 is going to be extremely competitive, but the fact that you know you're going to face opponents twice, potentially three times with the tournament, the rivalry is just going to grow, you know, and those games are going to become even more important, a lot more energy, I think a lot more fun to play, a lot more fun to watch. And with the West Coast teams becoming so much better, the competition is just going to get better and better. And it's not just one West Coast team making it to the NCAA tournament anymore. There's two, three teams. You know, so I really do think the Pac-12 is going to become one of the best in the country.
It's been a trend center in a lot of things regarding college athletics. So with this conference, how much do you think it will energize and increase the awareness of lacrosse for women here on the West Coast that are maybe in junior high school or high school?
Mm-hmm. I think it's huge. You know, I've seen the growth over the last 10 years in high school, the youth levels, and there's not enough coaches to coach these kids who want to play lacrosse. And that's both the men's and the women's side. You know, so that's a positive. I think also young kids, young athletes, seeing that lacrosse is an option at these high level, you know, institutions, big Power Five conferences, you know, when they're deciding what sport, you know, they're going to choose, lacrosse now is an option for those athletes who really want to play at the top level, you know, where before they might have picked some other sports. So I think just for drawing even better athletes and more athletes to the game, I mean, this is going to help at all levels.
And hopefully keep some of those young high school lacrosse players on the West Coast so they don't matriculate back to the Midwest or the East Coast. You're going to start your season February 9th at UC Davis. You know all about UC Davis because you used to see them a lot in the previous conference. Then your first home match is going to be against San Diego State, February the 11th. When you look at trying to build something here, what was the first building block or two building blocks that you've felt you had to have established and that you maybe have established and now you can build on those foundation blocks?
well, Cal is such a special place. You know, there's a unique personality that is drawn here. And, you know, I really believe you can be anyone you want to be here. There's an avenue to do that. So really, it's kind of incorporating that into our team, fostering, you know, a learning environment, and also an environment where we're using lacrosse as our vehicle in order to succeed. You know, I want my student athletes to be successful students, people, professionals when they leave here. And we've all chosen lacrosse as our vehicle to get there, you know? So it really, in the beginning, it's about learning how to work together. We've really this year focused on finding our strengths and not so much worrying about our weaknesses, you know, really enhancing our strengths, which, you know, is a little bit more enjoyable as well. And I do think that those kind of core values help us, you know, on the field, off the field, and really is going to propel us to be successful in many different ways.
Well, that's a good segue off the field, because we do want to talk about a couple of special things that your team has done that are being done around the country as well. One Love Foundation's Yards for Yearnley, a young woman who went to the University of Virginia, was tragically killed earlier in this decade. Tell us about your association with that group and that organization, and how you've become involved and what you're doing to try to promote the cause.
You know, just kind of generally speaking, when it comes to, you know, community service or involvement in, you know, different organizations, is I don't want it to be a to-do list for our players. I want it to be something that they're passionate about. So typically at the beginning of the year, we talk, and then they come to me, you know, with ideas of what they want to be involved in, how they think they can support it. They organize it. You know, a lot of times I get credit for us being involved in things, but it's all them. You know, they organize it. They get the t-shirts. They do all that stuff, and they really are passionate about it, and I think it makes a big impact. And I think the One Love Foundation hits close to home because she was a lacrosse student athlete, you know, so something that they can relate to, you know, whether it was coming from the same area or knowing older siblings. And it's something that, you know, our team has been involved in before, you know, I even got here. So it's exciting to see that this is carried on from year to year. You know, we do the yards for Yardley, and it's really just tracking, you know, your workouts and kind of putting your workout towards a good cause. You know, you're not just going out to work out, you're actually tracking your yards. And there was a competition this year among the Pac-12 of how many yards each program could do. So it kind of makes it more fun that way too. And something that our players are just really passionate about and involved in, and hopefully we can continue to do that.
Yeah, that's one of the great things. A lot of the programs here at Cal are very involved in community events, whether it's basketball or, in your case, women's lacrosse. It's a great way to be connected with the community, not just giving back to it, but just get connected to the community. I think that's really important. It's a great part of the educational process here at California. All right, so you've got about a month to go before, less than that now. You've got about 3 weeks before the first game. We appreciate you stopping by, taking the time to be with us, and certainly have a good year. Last year, I mean, the woulda, coulda, shouldas, you had, I think, four games that were decided by one goal, and you turned those around. You made the conference tournament for the first time in 4 years as well. So hopefully the success trend continues upwards for women's lacrosse. Appreciate you stopping by.
Thank you so much. Go Bears.
All right, Brooke Eubanks with us as we conclude this week's version of Bear in Mind, the official podcast of Cal Athletics. Special thanks to Coach Jones for being with us as the Bears return to Southern California this week, his home area. So it'll be nice to see how the Bears handle that against UCLA and USC. And Christina Nigwe, the all-everything center for the Bears, as they will be back at home this week. I'm Todd McKim. Appreciate you listening this week. Stick with us. Have a great week, everybody. And we'll talk to you next week on Bear in Mind, the official podcast of Cal Athletics. Go Bears!
This has been Bear in Mind, the official podcast of Cal Athletics, with your host, Todd McKim. The preceding has been a Learfield presentation.
Let's jump into Peppa's world of play. Look for spring flowers, hunt for muddy puddles, and bravely explore exciting places with Peppa play sets. Peppa Pig, inspiring kid confidence.